and thank the Lord for his presence here tonight. Looking forward to Sunday. Pastor will be on vacation, so pray for me. Glory to God. You got to hear me both times this Sunday. So that we'll just have a great, I know some of you will be traveling. I hope not a lot of you, but I know this is a holiday weekend. But invite somebody to be here Sunday. Just tell people, hey, we're having church. We're believing the Lord to do some wonderful things. I want to thank the Connection team. I'll be sending out some thank you cards tomorrow. So hopefully you'll get those by Saturday. I don't know about this meal here in Wilson. And I've learned my post office isn't very reliable. That's the one over by the old mall. So I'm going to go downtown and get them out. But I do have some thank you cards for those of you that help serve and cook and clean the dishes and straighten up. And we had several. In fact, we had one newcomer that had invited a person with them. And that's the name of the game. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for that. Connections Lunch, just people getting to know people. And I looked out, and at first there were some of our new people were sitting by themselves, and it wasn't long before some of you, the regular folks here, just went to at every table, new people and the regular people, getting to know the new people. And that's what it's all about. That's a church of hospitality. Amen. And what I like to call the church of the Father's welcome, where you just throw out your arms and say, we're so glad. You know, if you can touch people's heart, it's a little bit easier to get to their head. Amen. And so we thank you for doing that this past Sunday. And the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what you did, even a cup of cold water in the name of the disciple, when you stand before the Lord, those of you that served the lunch Sunday and were part of that, when you stand before the Lord, Sister Patsy, different ones that are there, you're going to be rewarded for reaching out to those who are new to our church. And thank the Lord for it. Amen. All righty. So tonight we are in a series called the Gateway Series, the Gateway. And what we're doing is talking about how that the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in unknown tongues, how so many times we as Pentecostals kind of reach for that. And when we get it, we're like, oh, I got a goal here. You know, I'm speaking in tongues, or I've spoken in tongues. I've got it. And then we stop. It's not a goal. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gateway to a life of usefulness, a life of purpose, not just a one-time experience, but to an everyday occurrence. In fact, what we're talking about is not just an infilling, but an overflowing of a life where we can make a difference. Now, the gifts of the Spirit is what we're talking about. We're going from through the gateway into the gifts of the Spirit. There are two major classifications of the gifts of the Spirit. There are the manifestation gifts of the Spirit. And I believe I have a list of those. And Brother Blue, if you've got those, these are the gifts that our pastor has been doing a wonderful job preaching and on these gifts of the Spirit, these manifestation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. By the way, just in case you're kind of new here or haven't heard some of the tongues that we're talking about here are the manifestation gifts of tongues. These are corporate. Everything you're seeing here is something through you to others. Somebody say, through me to others. The tongues here are through me to others and interpretation. Now, there is the private tongues, which is the evidence of the Holy Spirit that is between you and the Lord. Say amen. Now, that is the manifestation gifts. Then there's the ministry gifts. The next list. These are the ones I'm preaching on. Prophecy. Or you'll find out tonight, preaching. Ministry or serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, or we better know it as leading, and mercy. Now, the big difference between the manifestation gifts and the ministry gifts can be best understood this way. Manifestation gifts deal with the moment. Ministry gifts deal with a life, the ones I'm doing. The ones the pastor's talking about are surprises in the moment. The ones I'm talking about deals not so much with surprises, but with study and preparation. One, the manifestation gifts is the Holy Spirit working in you. The body ministry gifts is the Holy Spirit working through you. Think of it like this. The manifestation gifts are the emergency, 911, Mayday, ER, in the moment. The ministry gifts is for rehab, the ongoing process. You see the difference between the two? Manifestation. Say that word, manifestation. Right there, I'll tell you, we're talking about something that manifests for a moment. God uses you, and he does it different places, different spaces, different folks, different people. And you could have it in that moment. All of those gifts at certain times and in certain people and certain places. But the ministry gifts that I'm talking about are callings. And I believe that in my list of these gifts, I don't think this is an exhaustive list, but I believe many of you can find your calling in the lifetime work, not just in the ER, not just in the moment, but this is what you're assigned to do, called to do. These are not contradictory, but they're complementary. And as I work through my set of the spiritual gifts, the ministry gifts, I want to talk about making a difference, because I believe, really, to be honest with you, the spiritual gifts, the gateway to the spiritual gifts, is to make a difference. I believe we're called to make a difference. I believe you can make a difference where you work, where you live, to your next door neighbor, wherever God plants. And the Bible said to the Israelites, wherever the sole of your feet trods, I have given it to you. I'll tell you, when I go to a place of employment, when I go out to shop or eat, or when I go to my family at Thanksgiving, wherever I go to my neighbor across the street, God is working and using me, and I'm wanting him to use me. How many of you want to make a difference for the Lord? Would you just give him praise that he can use you to make a difference, and he can use me? Well, I don't have a theological degree. I didn't go to Oral Roberts University. Listen, all of this is through the Holy Spirit. Say amen. So I want us to read Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 as our main text tonight. So if you have your Bible, just turn to it, or just look right above my head tonight. And if you're watching by live stream, we'll put it up there for you to read it as well. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Can you believe it's September already? Do you know it's time to start shopping for Christmas? Do you know at Cracker Barrel they've already got Christmas trees out? And at Hobby Lobby, I'm telling you, where has the year gone? Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. If you're there, say amen. For as we have many members in one body, and I'm going to just talk through this. Members, many members. Look around you. We're members of the body. Amen. You're a member. I'm a member. But all members have not the same office or calling. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given us. Here it is, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. That word ministry could be serving. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, or encouragement. Or he that gives, let him do it in simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This is a good example where the King James Version lacks in the clarity we need today. So I'm going to read this in other translations. Nothing against it. It's not wrong. It's just the terminology here is a lot different as you read it. So tonight, making a difference through the gift of preaching. Ministry gift number one, preaching. Father, tonight, anoint your servant to preach the word of God. We give you praise for the gateway. Lord, not just an infilling, but an overflowing to make a difference in our lives and our communities. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said amen. So the first ministry gift listed is the gift in the King James called prophecy. Now, let me at the outset tell you that this, I believe, refers to preaching, as we know preaching, pulpit preaching. Now, I know that there's prophecy in this list, there's prophecy in the manifestation list, and the words are similar, but when you do the study, as we're doing, the function is quite different. The prophecy of the manifestation gifts is not altogether the same as the prophecy of the body ministry gift. In fact, I believe it is the gift of preaching. Say the gift of preaching. Now look back at verse 6. Look back at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether preaching, let us preach. Or the word there, prophecy, or prophesy. Now, all pulpit preaching is prophesying. But not all prophesying is pulpit preaching. So understand in the context that when you give a prophetic word out in the lobby, you're not pulpit preaching. But as I preach in the pulpit, I am, in a sense, prophesying. So what do you mean? Let me explain it this way. There is the manifestation gift of prophecy. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. So I want this to get clear in your mind. I had to understand this. I want you to understand it. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, but there's that word, manifestation. What does manifestation mean? One minute it's there, the next minute it's not, it is there, the next minute it's not there. Manifestation, like lightning, a flash, a moment, a need, a surprise, as B.E. Underwood. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, they're given to be blessing to all. Now go to verse 10. It says, to another, the working of miracles. That's a manifestation gift, the gift of miracles. To another, where are we at? Yeah, to another, prophecy. To another, prophecy. Now, the prophecy of this is not the same as in Romans chapter 12. Because remember, the spur of the moment, this manifestation gift is not pre-thought. You're sitting in church or the pastor's on the stage, and all of a sudden God downloads a message for you to give to someone. You didn't pre-plan it. You didn't study for it. It is a prophetic utterance given by the Holy Spirit or to the congregation. These are special circumstances in a moment where God speaks. However, if we go back to Romans chapter 12, these are not special circumstances. These are for life. These are for the everyday roll up the sleeves and work. These are for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry. The body ministry gifts are permanent and resident in the life of the person in whom they are given. For example, the manifestation gifts can come to you, come to you, can come to you, and come to you. But the body ministry gifts in that list, these are callings that you have that I may not have, or that I have that you may not have. Now let's go back and look at it. Let me explain further. Go back to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. For as we are many members in the body, what does that say? All members have not the same office. Your calling may be to exhortation, and my calling may be to preaching, and somebody else's calling may be to giving or serving, but in that context, that is your calling, your assignment. Somebody say the word assignment. Now go to verse 5. So we being many are one in Christ, having, and everyone members one of another. Look at verse 6. Having different gifts. Listen to me now. The manifestation gifts, anybody at any time who's in touch with God, all nine of them, God can use through you. Say amen. But in this context, having gifts different. If I have the gift of preaching and you don't have the gift of preaching, that doesn't mean you're any less. That means God's got another gift. He's using you. Can you say amen? So that means you may not have all these gifts. These are really to be thought of in terms of assignments, of offices. Manifestation gifts can come through any spirit-filled believer, but the body ministry gifts are assignments to specific believers for God's purpose. Ricky Nelms, you have the gift, and I've called you to preach. Brother Ray, you have the gift of exhortation. I've called you to exhort. There's a difference between exhortation and preaching, and we'll talk about that later on in this service. And you'll be surprised what you'll learn and I believe some of you may discover something that you were called to do that you didn't know you were called to do. That's one thing about it. You're not called to sit and soak and say, preacher, bless me if you can. We are an army of the living God. And we are called to an assignment and to a warfare, and everybody is somebody in his body. Say amen. Now, so I believe the word prophecy in Romans chapter 12 in the context is really referring to preaching. Here's how the manifestation gift of prophecy versus the body ministry gift of prophecy or preaching compares. Let me go back and remind you that prophecy in the manifestation side, it is unplanned. But preaching on the body ministry plan is very much planned. One is a short message. The other is a longer message. One is a surprise. The other is a work in progress. One is special revelation. The other, prophecy or preaching, is not special revelation, but proclamation of existing revelation. You see, prophecy has the literal meaning in Romans chapter 12. Say amen. Prophecy, that word prophecy, has the literal meaning of speaking forth with no connotation of prediction or other supernatural or mystical significance. The gift of prophecy is simply the gift of preaching or proclaiming God's word. The gift of prophecy, listen, does not pertain to the content, but to the means. So in the manifestation gifts, it's the content. You got a message from God. In the body ministry gifts, it's the means. It is preaching. It is getting the, it is how God is getting that through preaching. In our day, it's the active enablement. So I really, if the King James translators would have translated that word preaching instead of prophecy, it would have cleared up a lot. And because that's exactly what it is when you go back and study. It is the body ministry gift of preaching. And I want to talk to you tonight about how you can make a difference if you have the gift of preaching. Now you say, I might not have the calling to preach. I might not want the calling to preach. And I don't know if this message will apply to me. I promise you, this message will apply to you in more ways than you realize. And God wants to use us all in His service. Can you say amen? And I don't think it's an accident that preaching is on the top of this list. Because there's nothing more effective, nothing more powerful, nothing more influential or destiny determining than the God called preacher and preaching of the gospel. Say amen tonight. Nothing more effective than a pulpit preaching ministry. When Jonathan Edwards, in the year 1741, stood in the pulpit of his church in Northampton, Massachusetts, opened his Bible and began to preach Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that wouldn't go over well in some churches, but it shook the nation. How about Billy Graham? There's nothing more powerful than preaching of the Word of God. D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon are men who preached, who had the gift of preaching, and who made tremendous differences. Charles Spurgeon died in 1891. He filled, he was the first mega church as we know it today. In London, he filled, with no amplification. He preached to 5,000 people every single Sunday, and three and four times a week. They had no music. They took no offerings, but they never lacked for funds, and they never lacked for souls getting saved. That's the power of pulpit preaching. Come on now. Well, now, don't underestimate what God can do through the unknown preachers. Because I promise you, in your life, there was some Billy Graham that nobody ever heard of. I promise you that my name or Jerry Nelson's name or somebody's name may not ever be on TV, but I'm here to tell you that there are people that every preacher can reach that those other preachers may never reach. And when a preacher preaches and that gift is, it can make a tremendous difference. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise for the gift of preaching? And Paul said in this text, if you have the gift of preaching, if you're called to the body ministry of preaching, he is wanting you to use it with faith and make a difference. And so I want to answer the question tonight. How can I make a difference through the gift of preaching? Number one, if you want to make a difference through the gift of preaching, if God has called you to preach, and that is your body ministry gift, if God has called you to preach, you can make a difference by, number one, surrendering to the call to preach. Now, let me just say this to you. Not everyone is called to preach. There have been people who've tried it, and it just didn't work because God never intended them to preach the gospel. They probably had a calling to exhort. And exhortation is a different gift, and I'll explain that in the next few weeks. But the calling to preach is a sacred calling, and it is clear in our text that this is a gift from God. And if you are called to preach, then surrender to it. You know, I've known so many over the years that were called to preach and they ran from the call. And it's no wonder people run from the call to preach. Have you thought about what people do to preachers sometimes? When you think of what a pastor has to go through when a preacher, in fact, Jonathan Edwards, who I just mentioned, who preached so mightily and brought revival to colonial America. Did you know that several years later, they fired him? And he went to a small little church of Indians out in the frontier of Massachusetts, somewhere out there, Vermont, in that region that was unsettled. A lady there was having a school of Indians, and she didn't like him, and a fire took place, and they kind of blamed Jonathan Edwards because several of them got hurt or whatever. And so he wound up having to leave. And by the way, he had 13 children. And thankfully, the Lord called him to be the president of Cambridge. Does anybody know for sure? I can't remember which one. It's the one in New Jersey. Princeton. And of course, when he became president, he took a vaccination for some kind of, there were immunization even back then, and he took a vaccination for something, and 3 months later, he was gone to heaven. So it's no wonder some people, hey, you want me to be a preacher? No, sir. You better get somebody else. But I'm here to tell you, if God's called you to preach, you can't get away from it. And you need to surrender to it. Can you say amen? I thought about where I pastored. I used to pastor a church way down on the southern end of the state, a town called Whiteville, North Carolina. If you go straight down 95 to Lumberton and you go east about an hour, you'll come to a town called Whiteville. And if you go about 20 miles south of Whiteville into southern Columbus County, you're right there at the North Carolina, South Carolina border. I pastored a church down there. Well, I had heard rumors about a church across the river there, where the pastor's wife was killed. And come to find out that, the church over there, I think it was called Welcome Free Will Holiness Church, and I knew where it was at because I'd driven by it many times. 15 or 20 years ago, a man in the church there wanted to run the pastor off because he didn't like him, and so he tried to intimidate him. It didn't work. And so this man was extremely wealthy, very powerful man in that community, and so he began to he started detonating bombs outside the window of the parsonage at 3 o'clock in the morning. So while the pastor and his family were safely asleep, a bomb would go off. And it would happen so many times and over a course of a year or so. But the pastor said, I'm not leaving. You're not going to run me away. And then the man just couldn't take it anymore. So he hired a hitman. And while the pastor and his wife and 2 children were eating meal, a man ran into the door. The family scattered. He drew a gun, killed the pastor's wife, shot the pastor. And the little girl and the boy were hiding in the back bedroom. The pastor then had to leave because he could never recover. His body was completely damaged, and he never, to my understanding, preached again. There are people out there to do harm to the minister. And this little girl in the back bedroom wrote a book called, listen to this, The Devil in Pew Number 7. I promise you, go to Amazon. I've talked with that lady because I pastored 10 miles from that church. And I've always wanted to get her to speak because she talks about how God, how could, her mother was killed, her daddy was disabled, and how God brought forgiveness into her heart. And when you read the book, I don't want to give away the ending of it, but I will say this, that the man who did all that later went to prison and she forgave him, and God did a great work of grace there. Isn't God good? Amen. But if you're called to preach, it's not a bed of roses. It's not driving a nice car, flying fancy jets. And these televangelists give the man of God a bad name that all the people are in it are for the money. I'm here to tell you that the average preacher is under attack financially, spiritually, physically, socially. And no wonder so many people don't want to surrender to it. But I'm here to tell you, if you're called to preach tonight, if you're listening to me tonight, that you would do more damage to yourself and to the kingdom by not surrendering. It's like Arthur Blessett said, he carried the cross, a literal wooden cross, on foot all over the world. And he would go into the most terrible places and jungles and be bitten by insects and be at peril with it. And he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, I would rather die in the will of God than live outside it. Oh, thank God for the call of God tonight. You remember Moses? You remember God called Moses? You know, he gave 5 excuses. He said, first of all, he said, I'm a nobody. Who am I? And by the way, if you're called to preach, it ain't about you anyway. It's not who you are, it's who he is. Amen. And then he said, I don't know what to say. What do I tell them? If you're called to preach, listen, God will help you know what to say. You'll get a word from the Lord. Then he said, excuse number three, what if they don't believe? So what if they don't believe? Listen, God's not called me to be responsible for you. He just called me to be responsible to you. I can only be responsible for the truth. It's up to you on how you respond. I'm going to talk about that at the end of this message tonight on how to respond to the preacher. But then Moses said, I stutter. I can't talk. Listen, if you ever heard David Rehn preach, he's got multiple dystrophy, and he walks like this, and he preaches the thousands, and he talks like that. But it doesn't matter. If God's called you to preach, he'll give you the voice. Come on, say amen tonight. And then, this is the crux of the matter, Moses finally said, why don't you send somebody else? Now, if you're called to preach, surrender to that call. It's a sacred calling. It's a body ministry gift. I can't promise you a church of 2,000. I can't promise you that you're going to live in luxury. I can't promise you a Learjet, a private jet. I can promise you this. There's going to be tears to shed. There's going to be people that will disappoint you and hurt you in the house of your friends. I can promise you there's a cross, but I can promise you this. There is a crown coming to the preacher of the word of God who has faithfully said, thus saith the Lord, God evermore give us people who will surrender and make a difference through the pulpit preaching of the word of God. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. So how can I make a difference if I'm called to preach? Number one, surrender to it. Amen. And by the way, don't ever do it if you're not called, truly called. This is one of the gifts that you've got to be called to fulfill. Number two, you can make a difference not only by surrendering to it, but by studying for it. Remember, the manifestation gifts of prophecy requires no pre-study. God can use a teenager to give a very deep word from the Lord, a quick word from the Lord. Amen. There's no pre-study. It's all of the Spirit. It's of the moment. Not so with the prophecy of Romans chapter 12 or the preaching. You've got to study. This is not a manifestation gift. This is an administration gift, which means there's a 9-to-5 implication, which means there's work to be done. These require effort. The gift of preaching, the gift of serving, the gift of leadership, all of those that I'm going to talk, they require effort, time, practice, skill, improvement, development. The gifts that I'm preaching on are gifts that are given to you. And you have to put forth your part, and God will put forth his part. But if you don't put forth your part and you get very little results, that's not God's fault. Because in the body ministry gifts, you can perfect. The Bible says he will perfect that. There's improvement. There's growth in it. There's a depth in it. There's study. There's all of that. And all of the body ministry gifts. And it goes to singing. And that's not listed as one of the body ministry gifts. But you need to practice. You need to get the note. You need to try to do that because in study. In fact, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you're called to preach, the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show yourself approved. That's not it. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. By the way, that's good though. That's coming up a little bit later. But I'm just going to read it till he finds it. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A what? Somebody say work. Preaching is work. Preaching is work. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Why? Rightly dividing the word of truth. My mentor T.L. Byrd, my father in the Lord, he said, anything that can be rightly divided can be wrongly divided. And we got a lot of lazy preaching where people haven't done their homework. And they just come off of, and Lord, heaven help us, when a man gets in the pulpit and says, I haven't studied. I'm just going to open my mouth and God's going to speak through me. Oh, God, help us, because we're in trouble. Because he's violated the scripture. The scripture didn't say just stand in the pulpit and open your mouth. And that is a manifestation gift, and it can be done in a moment. I'm not saying it can't happen. There are times when I could stand right here and God could just speak right through me. I'm not saying God can't do it, but I'm telling you the way he operates is through study, is through digging into the word, scripture, learning, growing. The preacher should study. What should he study? He should study the word of God. Every preacher that's called to preach needs to know this book. Now, Pastor Jerry and I have served on an examining committee for many years, and we'd have some candidates come before the examining committee. And some of them haven't read their Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They either said, I haven't, or they said, I just can't remember. I think I have. Well, let's just give them license to preach. Let's just ordain them. I'm like, really? Really? Well, if they'll just read between now and conference, we'll give them the license. Like, no. Well, we can't be, we can't show, we can't not have grace, but we are to have stewardship, right? I might have a heart of grace, but I have a responsibility to this conference. And we're giving people a license to preach that have not read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. No, I'm not going to vote for that. And sometimes they did, and sometimes just, when you're dealing with preachers, you're dealing with a herd of cats, I tell you right there. Most of the time they'd get approved. And me and some others, we always looked like we were the legalist. but I'm sorry. If you're going to preach the Word of God, now I'm not talking about your first sermon. You know, when I was, by the way, I had read my Bible through before I preached my first sermon. But, you know, the very first sermon, you might not have read everything in the Bible, Genesis, Revelation. But by the time you're getting credentials and recognition from the larger body, this is serious business. The preacher should study the Word of God. They should know the Bible. They should know the Psalms, Proverbs. They should know what the minor prophets, the major prophets. They should know the Gospels and the Epistles. They should have some working knowledge of doctrines, of the Trinity, of baptism, of the laying on of hands. They should know why Paul wrote the Hebrews and the prison epistles. They should know the scripture. They should know about the miracles. They should know this book. They should love this book. I got a responsibility for what I say in your hearing tonight. And I'm telling you that I want everything I've said to be backed by the Word of God. That, I'm not here to be a public speaker. I'm not here to have a television ministry. I'm here to preach the Word of God. And we got to study it, and we got to show ourselves approved. And it takes a lot of study, not only the Word of God, but study the works of God. Yes, I study my Bible, but I'll tell you some other things I study. I study history. I study the works of God. I just talked about Jonathan Edwards. You know, I was pastoring a church one time, and one or two of the deacons was... I came to church one night, and one of the head deacons had the IPHC manual in his hand. He didn't have the Bible. He had the manual, and I thought, that's never good. The only reason anybody in the church has a copy of the manual is to figure out how to get rid of the preacher. That's all it is, okay? And so I went to my office. I said, oh, Lord. And then I realized, well, they voted out Jonathan Edwards. And I know I'm not anywhere near Jonathan Edwards. And David Wilkerson had that church in Times Square. Oh, David Wilkerson, I heard a sermon on YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. I tell you, it's one of the greatest blessings. And David Wilkerson, one of the most godliest prophetic men of God. He literally lived into the presence of the Lord. He started that church. He brought his brother on to help him be an associate pastor. And I found out 4 or 5 years, they said his brother got mad with him and left and took 400 people. I said, dear Father. If David Wilkerson, as God as he is, if he has trouble in his church, I study the works of God. How did David Wilkerson respond to that? How do you respond to being voted out? How do you respond to history? It's his story. And a good preacher will study history, will study current events, will be up on the times, will be, in fact, I'm going to just share this with you. You might not agree with this. And if you don't, that's fine. You know, we can always agree to disagree, but just not be disagreeable. Say amen. But I have no desire to watch the Captain Marvel movies and the Avengers. I have no desire whatsoever. It just doesn't. Now, I liked Star Wars. It was all right. I grew up with it. But, man, I'm working with all these 30-year-olds. I'm working with all these 20-year-olds. And I'm telling you, they know every Marvel movie. They know the lines, the lyrics, the storylines. I thought, you know what? I might need to watch that. Why? For me? No. I'm studying. Because when I'm talking about something in the Bible and I say, hey, Captain America did this, it might perk their attention a little bit. Now, like I said, you might not agree with that. But Jesus said, behold the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. He used everyday stuff to get spiritual truth across. So as a preacher, it would behoove me to watch those movies that I don't want to watch. So maybe I should, you know, it's like work to watch those movies. And then I'll be able to, you know, talk to some of these millennials and those people younger. But a preacher should surrender to the call. Say amen. A preacher to make a difference must study in the call. Say amen. I need to hear other preachers. Charles Spurgeon, on many Sundays, I'll pull out and read one of his sermons. And I promise you, you read a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, it'll bring life to you. I read David Wilkerson's newsletters. I listen to podcasts. I hear great preachers from other pulpits because I want it to feed my spirit. I need to be preached to. Every preacher needs to be preached to. That's called study. And then, number three, and here's, I'm going to get to you musicians right here. Number three, not only should you surrender to the call, not only should you study for the call, but you should stay ready for the call. Staying ready for the call. Staying ready. Now, what do I mean? There are some people, go ahead and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Here's the deal. If you're going to make the most and make a difference, then you need to be ready at all times. If you're a preacher, you need to be ready to preach at all times. I didn't say that. The Bible says, preach the word. What's it? Amen. And be what? Yes. In season, out of season. In season, out of season. In other words, in fact, a couple of times in the last couple of years, I got a call at midnight. Pastor Jerry wasn't feeling well. I've got to go to the hospital. You got a message to preach? Yes, sir, I do. I remember I walked in church one Sunday several months ago. Walked into church. Pastor called me to the office, said, I'm not feeling well. Can you preach? Yes, sir, Pastor. I got you. I preached. Now, was I nervous? You better believe it. I'm glad I was ready. Amen. Thank God for the Dropbox preparation. That's right. But I can pull up on my phone all the messages I've preached for the last 25 years. I just pull them right up and say, oh, there's one right there. Let's just go with it. Amen. That's the word for the hour. So singers, musicians, you know, be ready. You know, you may be, I do believe in planning. I believe that on such and such a night, we have this one scheduled to sing. On such and such a day, we have that one scheduled to sing. But how many of you know when such and such a day gets there, such and such a things may go wrong? Amen. So be ready. Be ready to use your gift. And if you're a preacher, boy, these people would come before the examining committee. Do you preach? No, I haven't preached a lot. Why haven't you preached a lot? Well, my pastor won't let me preach. I done voted no. I'm not giving you a license until you preach. You say, well, what, the pastor won't let me preach? Then go to the nursing home, roll up some old senior ladies who don't have a hearing aid, ain't half working, open your Bible to them, and preach, glory to God. Don't wait for somebody to, man, there's opportunities everywhere to preach a sermon, be instant, in season, out of season. On the job. In the street corner, in the nursing home. Here's another one. Have a cottage prayer meeting. If some preacher won't let you preach, invite your friends to come over and preach your heart out to them. The point is, if you're called to preach, let me tell you something. Don't wait. By the way, God will open the doors for you. He will open doors for you. But at the same time, don't wait for a door to be open. You are to not only take opportunities. If you're called to preach, you're to make opportunities. Because there's people dying and going to hell. And don't tell me you got to wait until you Sunday morning at some nice church somewhere, and then you finally get a chance to preach. No, preach it everywhere. They were scattered everywhere, preaching the word. Peter preached and 3,000 were saved. Philip preached to one, the Ethiopian eunuch. He did, just one. Amen. Preach on the job site. Preach at a cottage prayer meeting. Preach on the street corner. If you're a preacher, don't just sit around. Be ready, instant, in season. Adrian Rogers was scheduled to preach in South America to 50,000 people. Adrian Rogers. He got sick and was in the hospital. And he told people, he said, it looked like that the only sermon I preached was to one, to the nurse. Be ready to preach whenever If you're going to make a difference, study for the call. Surrender to the call. Stay ready for the call. And then finally, be spirit-filled for the call. If you have the body ministry of preaching, if that is your calling, then you need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's true for preachers. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, he said unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying what? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Once you've studied, once you've prepared, once God's called you, once you've laid the wood in order, then we need the fire to come down and consume the sacrifice. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of the living God when I stand and preach the Word of God. It may be a valley of dry bones, but old bones hear the Word of the Lord. And there was a mighty rushing wind, and those bones came together. And there's a lot of preachers that are called to preach. They have the gift to preach, but they ain't got the anointing to preach. It's as dead as last year's corn shucks. And when you hear it, you say, "All shucks." A dead preacher is an affront to the cause of Christianity. Man, I'm telling you, preachers need to preach with fire. They need to preach with unction. When you sit down and they open that scripture, it's got to be anointed. It needs to move your heart. And I don't care if they preach on the blood. I don't care if they preach on tithing. I don't care what an anointed preacher, whatever the subject they preach on, if it's of God, something in that sermon, he might preach on tithing, and it may be something else in the sermon he says that hits you right where you need to be. It's called a word from the Lord. When Darnell and I went for our 25th wedding anniversary vacation, I had two Sundays off. I asked our pastor for two Sundays. I wanted two Sundays. Because as a pastor, every single Sunday, almost for 25 years, we're giving, giving, giving. And a few Sundays off here and there. But I said, "Lord, I want to go to two churches, and I need the word from the Lord. This is our 25th anniversary, and we need to hear something from you." And so we thought about going to Brooklyn Tabernacle, but we decided not to go to New York City. It was a little far away. I thought, Washington, D.C., I got a friend up there. And then Danville, Virginia, Mike Harp, I know he's going to give us a word from the Lord. So we started in Danville at another church, Dr. Dan Woods' church, and he has a little church of about 10 people, 15 people. And I'll tell you what, when he preached that morning, we got a word from the Lord. Say amen. And then the next Sunday, I went to Mike Harp's church, and he gave us a word from the Lord. I want you to know that a preacher must be filled with the Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Then Peter," what? "Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them." In other words, it didn't say Peter said unto them. It said, "Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them." And so if you're going to make a difference as a God-called preacher, you need to surrender to the call. And I believe there may be some people in this room tonight who their body ministry gift, their calling is to preach the word of God. "Well, I'm a woman. I'm not called to preach." I'm sorry, but the Bible says your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now, there are some people on TV and some people in other churches say that women can't preach. Well, I understand where they get their ideas from. But when you study all of the word of God, surrender to the call. Study for the call. Study to show yourself approved. Stay ready in the call. Be instant in season, out of season. Be spirit-filled in the call. And I promise you, if you do that, you will make a difference as a preacher of the gospel. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for that tonight? Thank you, Lord, for the gift of preaching. Now, you say, "Well, Brother Ricky, that's a good message. And if I were a preacher, I probably would have got a lot out of it." I hope you understand that there's some things you can do if this is not your gift. What can I do? Well, if this is not your calling to preach, then there's some things that you can do. Number one, you can pray for the preacher. Amen? How many of you remember Moses when he stood up in the mountain and his hands were up and then his hands got tired? And that's the way it is with preachers and pastors and our leaders, that they carry the weight of the battle. And it's through prayer. It's through us lifting our hands and lifting his hands unto the Lord. So pray for the God called preachers. Pray for your preachers. Pray for your pastors. Pray for evangelists and others. Pray for those on TV. Pray for those who are called to preach. Not only pray for the preacher, but here's a way you can benefit from the body ministry. This, by the way, the body ministry gift of preaching is for you. Glory to God. It's for your benefit. Not only pray for the preacher, but number two, respond to the preacher. Oh, it's tough when a preacher stands up to preach and you're sitting out there looking like this on your phone and not responsive. And the preacher preaches about love and forgiveness and says, please come to the altar, and nobody moves. Amen. If how can you respond to this? How can you let this gift benefit you? By responding to it. When a preacher preaches, and by the way, if it's a 18-year-old new preacher, or whether it's a seasoned preacher, if they're called to preach and they've prepared, there's something you can respond to in that sermon. There's people like, I can't listen to these young preachers. You know, they ain't got nothing they can tell me. Oh, yes, they can. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, the Bible says, God has perfected praise. And Pastor Nate preached a few Wednesday nights ago. It was powerful. Amen. And God's raising up a preacher out of that young man. Amen. Not only respond to preaching, not only pray for the preacher, but praise God for preachers. Be thankful for them. Be thankful for them. We do pastor appreciation for a reason, because we just have to stop. And so many times we can be familiar with the preachers or have, familiarity breeds contempt. And, oh, that's just the preacher up there. No. Listen, we don't want to over magnify ourselves. Absolutely not. I'm a humble servant of the Lord. I try to be a humble. I'm not a humble. I said I'm humble. I'm not. I'm trying to be a humble servant of the Lord. You can't say you're humble. Okay. Did y'all catch that? I'm trying to be humble. I'm just me. If I'm weak, I'm frail, but I am called to preach, and my life is backing it up, and my study's backing it up. Then it is a benefit to you, and so thank the Lord for it. Don't just look at a preacher as just some old somebody. You know, I honor pastors and preachers. I know that they have a calling, and I know that many of them are people of prayer. Doesn't make them better than us. I'm not better. We don't believe that the Catholics, that, you know, the priest is some mediator between you and God. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the preacher should have a special place in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our reception, even when we don't agree with their personality sometimes. You know, every preacher has their own personality, right? You know, my personality and Pastor Jerry's is different. You know, Billy Graham's is different from Jimmy Swaggart's, but they were both used of God. Amen. So we honor the calling on their life. And then I want you to stand, because this is important. The body ministry gift of preaching. The most important thing you can do is this, is pray that God will call more people to preach the gospel. Do you realize that there is a shortage of preachers today? Do you realize that there are churches that tonight do not have a pastor? Why? Because we just don't have a lot to choose from. Do you believe the Lord has quit calling preachers? For whatever reason, people are not hearing that call. These young people need to be in these services. We need to talk to people. We need to pray. We need to pray. Would you lift your hands and say, Lord, just send forth laborers into the harvest. Oh, God, would you send forth laborers? Would you call preachers right out of Westmoreland Church? Some of the young men and young women that are walking around here may be mighty preachers of the gospel. Some young lady may be another Amy Simple McPherson. Oh God, some young man, maybe another Billy Graham, or maybe another Pastor Jerry, or wherever, God. And Lord, it may not even be a big church, some church in the, Lord, we're asking you to raise up, preach, call people. Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest. And Lord, help us, those that are called, help us to respond to it. Help those of us to recognize it and encourage it. And help us to, Lord, love the preachers, pray for the preachers, and we pray for our pastors. We pray, God, that you would use the body ministry gift of prophesying, Lord, to do a great work in your house today. And God, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Does anybody feel called to preach after this sermon tonight? I'm serious. Anybody? I know you might not want to do it, but if you feel like God might be calling you to preach, you let me know. And by the way, I struggled with it. It was like, I think I'm called to preach. Nah, I can't be called to preach. And it's like, Lord, are you calling me to preach? And it was like, no way, I can't be a preacher. And then it was like, Lord, if you're not calling me to preach, you better stop this. And then it became like, yes, Lord, you've called me to preach. Sometimes it's not a flash of lightning. Sometimes it's a process. And by the way, one last thought. You may be called to be a preacher, but it doesn't always mean you're called to be a pastor or an evangelist. So just be open to God. And we've got other gifts. If you're not called to preach, that's fine. Doesn't mean you're less. There's other gifts. And so 2 weeks from tonight, I'll give you the next one on the list. So here's what I want you to do. We want you to high-five three people and tell them you're blessed and highly favored. And you're dismissed. God bless you.